Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
Page 48.
When
I have nothing. tell you, we're a blessed people. There's probably two of the biggest decisions that we've made thus so far this morning is what we was going to eat this morning and what we was going to put on and wear. Can I have amen there? That's probably two of the biggest decisions that we made today up this far. Now you're going to decide if you're going to tune the preacher out or not, and that's the third decision. But I just thought of these two decisions, and there's a lot of people in the world today that the decision was, where am I going to find something to eat? What in the world am I going to find something to wear? It's getting cold and I don't have a coat. I don't have shoes to put on. We're blessed folks. We live in America. We're very blessed. And we are among, if I heard a statistic, among the 98% of the wealthiest in the world. Just common everyday folks like we are. And how blessed that we are. I tell you what, that if we did what we ought to do this morning, we'd be running laps, every one of us, and praising. We wouldn't even get to preach because we'd be thanking the Lord and praising His name for what He's done and what He's given us this morning. If you got a roof over your head today, you're a blessed person. If you had a few clothes to put on, you're a blessed person today. And I tell you, if we had a vehicle to get here and a little money to put gas in the tank and some groceries in the cupboards, I tell you what, these people around the world, it's envious so much. Amen. I tell you, we're spoiled, aren't we? I mean, we're spoiled. I'm talking about me. We're very spoiled in America. How spoiled are we? Just let somebody slow down in front of us. Amen. We're spoiled in this world. I want to share a message with you today out of Psalm 103. Does anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Anyone else? All right. Lord. praise the Lord. Anyone else? Have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 103. Stand with me, please. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. Praise the Lord. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Father, we thank You again for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your opportunity to be back in Your house, the opportunity to be behind this desk one more time. And Father, I thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the sweet spirit I feel. God, thank you for blessing these folks and the testimonies. And Father, we ask you now that you'd just bless this time together. You would anoint the old preacher boy. Lord, that you'd illuminate my thinking. Forgive me, Lord, of any of my shortcomings. I'm so unworthy. I pray you'll make me usable. Lord, you'd bless. We invite your sweet spirit to be in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a message this morning on five kernels of corn. And some of y'all may have heard this story, but of the pilgrims in on November the 11th, 1620, the Mayflower dropped anchor in a natural harbor on the inside of the northern tip of Cape Cod. And this wasn't their first location, but this is the weather and stuff where they wound up being. And there was a fierce tribe of Indians that had been there, but they had died out, a disease or something had hit. And they had had a rough time. And it had got so bad that they had rationed each person five kernels of corn was their daily ration through that winter. That winter was so bad. It was in 1621 that the winter, and it was, but they rationed this food out, five kernels of corn a day, and it was noted, history records that not a single one of them died from starvation that winter. And then the next year, and they were buddies with the Indians, we know the story, and they come in, and they had a plenteous abundance of food. That when they come in, that there was an Indian special that came, and he brought his wife and other chiefs and 120 braves, and all sat down, a feast full of 12 venison, 6 goats, 50 hogs and pigs, numerous turkeys, vegetables, grapes, nuts, plums, puddings, and pies. They sat down to this abundance of food, and you know what they did before they eat. They set a plate down, and everyone was given an empty plate with five kernels of corn. They remembered and thanked the Lord for his blessings and provisions. And they did this for a long time, that they would put an empty plate in remembrance with five kernels of corn. The David, the psalmist, here that he, verses 3 through 5 or 1 through 5, but we see five kernels here this morning that we want to look at in this. And before I do, there was a preacher and a young farmer, and this preacher run up on him, and he was all to pieces. He was sweating. He was moving. He had turned a load of hay over, and he was just in a rage. And the preacher was trying to help the situation. He come on. He told the young farmer, he said, "Son," said, "why don't you come here and sit down just a minute and just calm down and cool off, and I'll help you, and we'll get this." He said, "You just need to." He said, "I can't. My daddy always said I've got to go and I got to get on," and kind of aggravated the preacher. And he said again, tried again. He said, "Now you're not going to, you need to calm down." And he said, "Why are you like this?" He said, "My daddy told me." He said, "Well, where's your daddy? I'd like to give him a piece of my mind." He said, "He's under that load of hay right there." And he didn't have time to ease up. But I wanted to use that in thinking about being thankful. I'd say the father was very thankful that he was like that, wasn't he? And being thankful for the things. I want to think about the five kernels of corn. The first one in verse 3, the first part of verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. This is one of the reasons, and we see David give us some reasons here. This is one of the reasons we have to thank the Lord for His forgiveness. Probably one of the greatest things we ought to thank Him for is that He has forgiven us of our sins if we've called upon the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And have accepted Him. And what a blessing that it is. Amen. I seen a story, a tale that he said one day a young fellow come visiting a minister, and as he came in visiting, he picked a book up and started reading it. And he told the preacher, he said, "Glory, praise the name of the Lord." And the preacher said, what are you talking about? And he said, "The Bible says that my sins have been cast into the depths of the sea." And the preacher said, "Well, that's right. Yeah, it's absolutely right. What of it?" He said, "You know, they say that the ocean in places is 5 miles deep." And the preacher said, "Yeah, that's true." And he said, "Well, glory, hallelujah, if my sins are cast down there, if you sunk a aircraft carrier, there's so much pressure in that time that it would crush it like an eggshell." He said, "So what do you think my sins are ever going to get back up?" Praise the Lord. See, that's the forgiveness that we have gotten. It's not just a one-time forgiveness, and it's not just something that, well, I hope it holds in and true, that if we are here today and our sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ, and we've been born again, our name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'll tell you what, we got more to thank Him for than any clothes that we wear or anything that we eat or any shoes that we put on our feet. I tell you what, we're blessed. How blessed David. And David started out, he knew how blessed he was. He said, "Thank you that you forgive me for my sins." Glory, hallelujah. See, there's no mistaking it. God offers forgiveness. And if we'll humble ourselves and ask Him to forgive us of our sins and accept Jesus into our hearts, that He'll make the slate clean and He'll save us and forgive our sins and write our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. This forgiveness is a promise of the Father. He said in Romans 10, the Bible said in Romans 10, 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Boy, I tell you what, if I understand the Bible correctly, whosoever, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad you're whosoever this morning. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus done a lot of work so that we could be saved today. Not only promise of the Father, we see the provision of the Son in Acts 2:38. The Bible says, "Then said Peter unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Praise the Lord. What a provision by the Son that He came and died and gave everything He had so that we could obtain mercy and salvation through His name. Glory, hallelujah. We see the proclamation of the Bible. Boy, I love this verse, John 8:36. "If the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Woo! Not if I do good, not if I don't mess up, Sister Janice, not if I pay my tithes, not if I do this. Glory, hallelujah. If a Son makes me free, I'm free from the bonds, I'm free from the sin, I'm free from the bondage, I'm free from that old devil, I'm free from the things of the world, all my bondages, all of my addictions, everything that ever bugged me down. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. I'm free. Glory, hallelujah. And the devil don't like it. Amen. And I don't care. Amen. Whoo, glory, hallelujah. And it's a required practice in the church. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. We give thanks. Be thankful for what we have. How many's ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? She wrote the book The Hiding Place. She was in a concentration camp. Jewish family in Germany, and they in a concentration camp. I'm going to tell you how Corrie Ten Boom, in the part that the women was in, the group that she was in that certain camp, got fleas. And she thanked the Lord for the fleas, because the men wouldn't touch them. And she praised the Lord that they had fleas. Boy, you think we ain't blessed? You think we're not blessed? And how much we let up on giving thanks? See, from the depths of our heart, there ought to be an attitude of gratitude to God for what He's done. But we get so wound up in ourselves and so wound up in our lives and in our little world, and we're so tied up. And if the least little thing happens, it's the greatest thing in the world. And we just lose it, and we forget to thank the Lord. We forget to praise Him because we are so bound in mind on that one little thing. Right. See, our gratitude ought to go up like the incense in the altar. Boy, like that old song, say, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin hath let the crimson stain, but His blood made it as white as snow. Glory, hallelujah. What a great blessing it is that we ought, if you not thank the Lord yet today for saving your soul and keeping you out of hell, I tell you what, we ought not let that much time pass till we thank Him for that we don't have to go to hell today. We deserve hell today. But Jesus said, I'll take your hell for you. Glory, hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. I don't know, I feel the Holy Ghost. Ray, I tore it off. That'd been coming off. Ray said just before the service, he said, I've put some glue on it and it's not been off yet. Well, I just tore it off, brother. Praise the Lord. The second kernel that we see in this verse, we'll see in verse 4, the first part of it, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Or who redeems our lives from the pit. The words are destruction. From destruction means out of, from the pit or the grave. Or destruction, the word that they chose the word destruction. We have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Being bought back, we were sold into slavery. We were born sinners, and we were bound for hell. We had no hope until Jesus bought us back and redeemed us. What kind of price can you put on that? There was a picture, so I don't know how many of you heard it. Rhonda had heard it, and I heard it on the radio the other day. I believe it was last Wednesday they found a person, individual had owned it, and they found a painting of Jesus that Da Vinci had painted, and they really didn't even know much about it. And it come up on an auction, and they thought, this painting will bring $100 million. This painting brought $450.3 million. is a company. The London Times publishes the prices of art objects in all sales around the world. Paying so New York, Paris, Rome, London. They keep up with all the prices. And they determine the value of this painting by what price it brings. Boy, I'm going to tell you this morning. $450.3 million ain't a drop in the bucket what Jesus is worth, what the redemption of our souls worth. You can't put a price on it. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? If a man had the money and on the whole world, what would it don't matter to a hill of beans if he lost his soul and went to hell.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. I tell you this morning, we're blessed people. A governor walked through prison in Texas, and he gave a speech to him, and he said, I'm going to be here a little bit, and any of you all want to come, talk to me a few minutes, you can. And the line lined up, and every one of them, they knew the governor could pardon them. They said, boy, they come in line, and every one of them said, I was set up. This went wrong. The judge done wrong. I didn't have a good attorney. I didn't have this. I didn't have. Everyone gave us excuses. Finally, one walked up and he said, sir, I'm guilty. I deserve everything I got. I've done my time. I appreciate you. But if you pardon me, I'd go out and make a good citizen for you. The governor granted him the pardon. He said he was honest. And he's saying, now this morning, we can't pay for our sin, but we got to come before him guilty. We got to come before him guilty, just like that guy did. Matthew 7:13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein. I tell you this morning, we're all guilty. But if we want to make it right, we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I failed. I know that I'm rotten. But I know Jesus came to buy and pay for my sins. And I accept that forgiveness and that redemption today. And then we try to walk the straight and narrow. I like the psalmist wrote in Psalm 40, verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear it and shall trust in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I was in a mire. I was in a deep hole. I was in a horrible pit. I was in a awful shape. And Jesus walked by one day, and it didn't matter what I'd done, how evil, how ugly, how vile I'd been. He reached down, Brother Jim, and pulled me up and put me on the solid rock. Glory, hallelujah. And he changed my goings. He changed every part about me. And glory, hallelujah. If I don't praise him, if I don't thank him, boy, I'm doing an awful injustice. Praise the Lord. The third kernel on that plate is a kernel of healing. In the latter part of verse 3, it says, who healeth all thy diseases? You know, all healing is divine. Everything from any sickness, any injury, any surgery, anything in our bodies, it's done by medicine, surgery, therapy. This is all the extension hand of God's ministry.
Amen.
Healing ministry. I tell you, I appreciate doctors. I got a lot of respect for them to take a lot of that time, put that much time. And nurses and all of the medical field. They couldn't do nothing if it wasn't for God. Amen. All the praise and the glory and the honor and the thanks goes to Him.
Amen.
If we got a disease that's in remission, it's because of Him. If we got a hell broke bone, it's because of Him. If we got a something that's been helped and took away, it's all because of Him. He's the one that heals our diseases. You notice that He didn't say He heals everyone's disease. I don't understand that. I don't know how. I'm not questioning. He's God and He's in charge and He does things for a reason. But He just said He didn't heal everyone's disease, but He said every disease is open to His healing. There's nothing that He can't heal. There's nothing that He can't touch. There's nothing that He can't bring us out of. Or we'll never get to a point where He can't do it.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the healing? That's why the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name." He's God this morning, folks. And He's accepted us. Woo! See, not only, though, in this healing can He heal our bodies through medicine, surgery, divine healing, but He can also cleanse and purge and purify our old hearts, our old lives. And if you got a problem this morning, and I tell you, of all the diseases, I think sin's the worst.
Amen.
I think the problem of sin is what's rampant in this nation, is why we're having the trouble we're having, is because we've not took care of the sin problem. And I'll tell you what, we get the sin problem took care of, He'll purify and soften up an old hard heart. Make the vilest clean. Make the drunkard sober. Make the drug addict straight.
Yes. Amen.
Make the homosexuals straighten them out and make them straight again.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
The fourth carnal that we see is verse 4 in the first part of it. Who redeemeth, or the first, second part, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The kernel of love and compassion. I tell you what, folks, we ought to really, really thank Him for the compassion that He has on us. And His tender mercies. The older I get, the more I try not to pray that I don't thank Him for mercy and grace. Thank Him for the mercy of God, for what He's bestowed upon us. Folks, He wouldn't even have to raise His hand, a wink, a blink, or anything, a twinkle of an eye, and we could be in hell today.
Amen.
Except for His mercy and His compassion. Time after time, in the Bible, if you read through, it'll say that Jesus looked upon the multitudes with compassion. With compassion. He had, God's got compassion upon us. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It was in the late 19th century, a Presbyterian evangelist named Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman. One of his meetings, as a man rose and came and gave the following testimony. He said, "For a year I begged on the streets for a living. One day I touched a man on the shoulder and said, 'Mister, please give me some money so I can have something to eat.' As soon as I saw his face, I recognized him as my father. 'Father, don't you know me?' I asked. Throwing his arms around me, he cried, 'I found you, I found you. All I have is yours.' Think of it, that that I, a tramp, stood begging my father for a few cents when for 18 years he'd been looking for me to give all that he was worth. It kind of sounds like the prodigal son, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like us, don't it? We've looked everywhere begging for years, and he's right there with the whole world in his hand. Everything that we'd ever need. A free gift. I thought of the prodigal son. The Bible said that when he come to himself, he said, "My father has many servants that's got plenty to eat. Here I am in a hog pen. I'm going to rise and go to my father." The Bible says he got up. You know the name of that road that runs from the pig pen to the palace? It's Jesus Avenue. Glory, hallelujah. Ain't you glad to get on Jesus Avenue?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good directions. All you got to do is turn right at the cross and then go straight.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. He made his way, and when the Bible says when he was still far off, the father ran. And all his glory and all his dignity, see, grown men, and especially wealthy men, wasn't supposed to run. Because to run, you had to gird up your garment that hung down. And that wasn't dignified for a landowner to gird up his garment. He seen his boy coming. And all dignity went out the window. Glory, hallelujah. He rolled that up, stuffed it down in his belt, and said, my son, that was dead, now is alive. He's lost and now he's found. He's come home. Glory, hallelujah. This morning, what a beautiful picture of us. We was lost and on our way to hell, and Jesus come and made a way that we could be saved. These three things he gave to the son that day. He said, the first thing, go get the robe and put on him. Get rid of them old tattered garments and put the robe on him. Boy, you know what that's signifying, a sign of. Boy, when we were saved, we had the old tattered garments of sin on, and they replaced them and put on the righteousness of Christ. I had then become a son, and I had the robe of righteousness on. I became righteous in the sight of God because of Jesus Christ. Glory, hallelujah. He didn't stop there. He said, we got to put a ring on that boy. How many's heard me do a wedding? I'll hold a ring up. Yeah, these two has. I don't know if Rob heard it or not. I said, son, whatever you do, don't lock your knees. He said, okay, the preacher. I'll hold that ring up, and I'll say you this ring has neither ending nor beginning, but is continuous. And so should a marriage seek to be. That ring is a sign of God's everlasting and unending love. When he slid that ring on his finger, when we got saved, he slid the forgiveness from all eternity to all eternity. Whew. He said, my son, you've come home. Glory, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that just does something to the old boy. Maybe the Lord didn't have to forgive you as much as he did me. And then he said, the son won't be right without shoes. Bring out the shoes. Put the shoes on him. Sons don't go barefoot. They wear shoes. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I'm going to ask you something this morning. I'm not talking about me. It's an old preacher man in your life that used to stand up in the pulpit and he'd stick that finger out and it'd hit you right between the eyes every time he got up. And that you knew he had the goods. You knew he had what's right. You knew that he was preaching you the gospel. And it's because that old preacher man, what he had done, that he pointed that finger. Well, I want you to thank God for him right now. I want you to praise God for that old preacher man. That it wasn't popular, but he preached it anyhow. Glory, how thank God for Alfred Cutshaw. Woo, glory, hallelujah. I thank God for some of Brother Whitson and some of these old preachers that I grew up under. There was an old preacher named Brother Wills. He was real skinny and real little, didn't talk real plain. But he's one of the visitingest guys and the prayingest guys you ever seen. One day he's going down the road and his car was messing up and he said, Lord, I'm on my way to the hospital to pray for the sick. He said, I ain't got the money and I ain't got time. Stop, will you touch my car? It clanged around there a minute and then it took off and ran like a brand new one. How beautiful are the feet that preach the gospel. Now, I mentioned the preacher to you, but he's not the only one that preaches the gospel. That's all of us, amen. In Ephesians 6:15, what is it when you're putting on the armor of God? 6:15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's a good gospel. I'll hurry in this last one. The kernel of satisfaction and renewal. Verse 5 says, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 5, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall be filled. Praise the Lord. He gives, satisfies our desires and our longings. If we will allow Him to satisfy our desires, He'll do it in the right way. What happens is when we get out of His will that we listen to the devil, and the devil takes a legitimate need and gives you an alternative way to do it. Just like Jesus when He went away to be tempted, the devil come up with an alternative how to make it quicker. And Jesus said, get thee hence, for it is written. I'll close with this. A famous surgeon was hardly ever seen on the street without a beautiful fresh rose on his lapel. And his friends always wondered why these buds stayed so fresh so long for him. And finally, they asked him and they flipped up the collar of his coat. And in the back of the collar was a little bitty bottle of water that rosebud stayed in. And it stayed in and kept getting the refreshing water and kept that bud longer than anybody stayed. Do you know, if we'll stay in the living water and we'll let Him make our decisions, we'll let Him lead us, we'll follow His will, He'll bless us and give us the desires of our heart. What a blessing that it is. Before we even leave this service, I want you to think about those five things. And I want you to think about them when we sit down for Thanksgiving Thursday. Our forgiveness and our redemption. Our healing. The love and compassion. the satisfaction and renewal. See, that is what we have in Jesus Christ. Isn't God good to us? And do we thank Him enough? It would be fitting if we just come around the altar and thanked Him this morning. If we didn't even ask Him for nothing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. And Lord, I thank You for Your blessings, Your goodness. I thank You, Father, for these five cardinals. God, we ask You today that You'd continue to touch and lead and guide us. Father, that You'd help us. Lord, if there be one that don't know You today and that can't thank You for all these things that they've never received, Lord, I pray for that to lift him up to You. Lord, I pray for each one. God, I pray that You will touch us in such a way today. Father, that if any in a backslidden condition, cold and indifferent, Lord, You touch that one today. Father, any that are unthankful, maybe been a while since we really got down and thanked You for what You've given us. Lord, I pray You touch each of us there today. Father, we just love You and thank You and praise You. Glorify Your wonderful name. Lord, I ask You to touch in this time of invitation. Anoint God in Jesus' name. You need to come today. Has the Lord dealt with you for anything today? Will you come? David the psalmist wrote here, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." I tell you, it would be fitting if we just came and thanked Him this morning. See, I'm so thankful I'm not in hell today. I'm so thankful that I'm able to get up and go about. I'm so thankful to have a church family like we've got. If you're thankful that anything, you've got a great family, won't you come and gather around the altar and let's just give Him thanks today for His many wonderful blessings.
Thank You, Father, for Your blessings. Lord, how wonderful. Brother Tim, would